In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, of course, now we are at the third Sunday of Great Lent and the exaltation of the precious cross. And tomorrow we will read that very critical gospel message about taking up the cross and following the Lord. And it mentions the cross specifically. The epistle, on the other hand, does not mention the cross. There are many places in the epistles that do mention the cross. So why do we have this segment from the Hebrews, epistle to the Hebrews, given? So let's look at that a little bit, because it's important to understand. First of all, I will say without much elaboration that our understanding, the Orthodox understanding of what happened on the cross, differs enormously from what most other people believe happened on the cross. It's way different than what Protestants and what Roman Catholics believe. To sum it up, the Lord healed our human nature on the cross. And the epistle to the Hebrews gives the authority that he had to heal our human nature, without mentioning the cross. So St. Paul says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us now hold fast our profession." He calls him a high priest because indeed he is. Remember that our Lord has the ministry of being the highest and the greatest of prophets and of priests and a king. And so he is the great high priest. And what does a high priest do? St. Paul explains. First, he says that our Lord is a high priest who is also human. Very important, critical, or else we would not be saved. Because what is not assumed cannot be changed. Our Lord assumed human nature, therefore he would change it. But if he did not assume human nature, then human nature would not have been changed. And so St. Paul says emphatically, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." This is so important that I think that it might be among the most referenced scriptures that I speak about in any sermon. It's very important to understand this. He's a human being. Therefore, he got tired. He got frightened. He got dejected. But in all ways, he never sinned. And what he did, we will become capable of. Because as a human being, he changed his human nature to become perfected. So our nature could follow and become perfected. But then he mentions what a regular high priest, not the greatest and the highest of high priests, but all the other ones, how they minister. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." For the Jewish high priest, this was the preeminent ministry, to offer sacrifice for sin. So for our Lord, the greatest high priest, he also offered a sacrifice for sin. But here Paul is describing what a man does, what a mortal man does. And it says, he says, "He can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, because he himself is compassed about with infirmity. And for that reason, hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins." So when the high priest, before Jesus, all the rest of them, when they offered sacrifice for sins, they offered sacrifice for their own sins also. And the next year had to have sacrifice for sins, and the year after that, and the year after that, because they were mortal, and they could not obliterate sin. They could not change human nature. So inevitably, there would be more sin. But Christ is not that kind of high priest. "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." meaning that the office of high priest, whether it be a mortal man or whether it be our Lord Jesus Christ, is a calling of God. But Jesus Christ is called to the highest of offices, where he could make a sacrifice for sin once and for all. And St. Paul quotes, "Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee." That's talking about the eternality of Jesus Christ, eternally being the Son. And he said in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So our Lord is a high priest, but not the same kind of high priest. He is a high priest that can make sacrifice for sin, and it will be permanent. Now, like I said, there's no mention of the cross whatsoever. These are our Lord's qualifications. Now, the services, of course, elucidate what happened on the cross. For instance, we just sang this. "Rejoice, life-giving cross, unconquerable trophy of true faith, door to paradise, succor of the faithful, rampart set about the church. Through thee the curse is utterly destroyed, the power of death is swallowed up, and we are raised from earth to heaven." And so on. That is from the Great Vespers, "Lord, I have cried." The cross causes the curse to be destroyed. The curse is that men sin, and with sin comes death. So the cross didn't just cause forgiveness of sin. I've told you 1,000 times, 10,000 times perhaps. Just to be forgiven sin is not enough. Because sin kills and hurts. And even if we are forgiven it 70 times 7, which means an infinite number of times, we're still sinners. And we still have the wounding of sin. Even a forgiven sinner is still a sinner and still suffers. But the Lord obliterated sin. He destroyed the curse. That's what happened on the cross. The cross was for healing. Not only for some sort of, and not because of some sort of juridical transaction, where because our Lord died on the cross, the Father would say, "All right, I will forgive all these other sinners that you died in their place of." He didn't just die in our place. He died so that we would become renewed. He died for our healing, not just our forgiveness. It amazes me that the understanding of what Christ has done for mankind has been so misunderstood outside of the Orthodox Church. Huge difference. Our Lord is a healer, and he helps us. Just a few other things from the services that are referring to what happened on the cross. This is also from "Lord, I Have Cried." "O Christ, our God, of thine own will thou hast accepted crucifixion, that all mankind might be restored to life." And then using incredibly brutal and poetic and beautiful language, "taking the quill of the cross out of love for man, in the red ink of royalty with bloody fingers, thou hast signed our absolution." So our Lord, of his own will, of his own power, has declared not just that we would be forgiven, but that our sins would be absolved, that we would become perfected, that our sins would be such that they would be no more. That's what the cross did. The cross is an instrument of healing. One more. "In paradise of old, the tree stripped me bare, that by giving me its fruit to eat, the enemy brought in death. But now, the tree of the cross that clothes men with the garment of life has been set up on earth, and the whole world is filled with boundless joy. Beholding it, venerated, O ye people, let us with one accord raise in faith our cry to God. His house is full of glory." That's from Matins, right after the first reading of the Psalter. We must understand what happened on the cross if we are to really understand about the Christian life. What happened on the cross was the accomplishment of the change of human nature so that we could be healed. And actually say it that way is not completely accurate, because to say anything in the Christian life as one point in time something happened, you're really in dangerous territory there. It's really not true. What happened with the incarnation and our Lord's living, teaching, transmitting to his apostles, raising the dead, healing the sick, going through his passion, being crucified, dying, being buried, resurrecting on the third day, teaching his apostles after his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, bodily, as we will ascend, and then the sending of the Holy Spirit. All of that is for our healing. And of course, the things afterwards, which would be, of course, the partaking of the Holy Eucharist, confession, for our continual healing. All of it's necessary. But on the cross, the Lord chose to make a decisive rebuking of the curse so that the curse would be abolished. That's part of it. Of course, we must then live according to that truth and that reality. We don't live according to it, then we don't appropriate it. We appropriate it through belief and living like we believe, trying like we believe. So may God help us to look to the Lord for healing, because he is the healer, the lover of mankind. He's also our judge, but he is also preeminently the one who heals. Let us look to him for healing. Let us look at the cross as an example of how to live, and as a sign that the Lord loves us infinitely. And with God helping us, our poor hearts will be filled with love for him, so that we will not forget him. And we will do all things because of generosity and gratitude towards our Lord. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.